I've been waiting to say this to you. Good morning, you beautiful people of God. It is wonderful to be here with you this morning. It's really fun for me to see a number of faces that are so familiar and to remember the years that we've spent together. And it's also exciting for me to see the number of faces that I don't know, to see the ways that this congregation has grown in the time that I have been off doing ministry in other places. So it's fun for me to be here this morning. I bring to you the greetings of our bishop, Bishop Hee-Soo Jung. His office is just upstairs from mine, and he sends warm greetings to you this morning. I also bring greetings from our full-time camp staff, from Nick Coonan and Colin Grooms and David Eyrick. And I am here on behalf of all of them to share with you what I know about camp and retreat ministry, which is that it changes lives. It has changed my life. Every summer, we have stories of campers who have become Christian for the first time. Last winter, I was blessed to be at our youth winter retreat, and they had me come because I was the only one who was authorized to serve communion. So that's what I was there to do. And afterward, they had parents as chaperones, and one of the moms came up to me, and she said, "You know, this weekend has been so powerful for my daughter, because I drag her with me to church every Sunday, and I drag her up to the front to be part of communion, and it was this weekend, it was here at camp, that was the first time that she went forward for communion without me forcing her to go. She went because she wanted to, and she feels the love of Christ in her heart." Every summer we have kids who finally understand that story in the Bible that they've heard over and over in Sunday school, and something in their brain clicks, and it finally makes sense to them. And it's not just kids. Our summer staff go on to take leadership roles, sometimes in the church, sometimes as clergy, sometimes as staff parish chairs or church council chairs, sometimes in their places of employment, sometimes in the community. Adults who come to camp go home with a renewed sense of faith, too. And not only a renewed sense of faith in God, but a renewed sense of faith in humanity, in one another. We go home uplifted and renewed. And I could stand here and tell you story after story about people who have been changed at camp. But I'm not going to do that this morning, because one good story only tells you that we have changed one life. And I want you to know that changing lives is not the exception at camp. It is our expectation. Camp and retreat ministry is well situated to consistently and intentionally transform lives. And we do this by providing some practical life skills and by fostering sticky faith. You know, the kinds of faith experiences that stick with you. I'm going to tell you more in a minute, but first, would you all please pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in worship, for this opportunity to hear your word and to gather and share your love with one another. As we enter into this time of worship, as we share our lives together, speak to each one what they need to hear this morning. We pray in your most holy name. Amen. All right, 50 years ago, if you asked anybody what should be taught in school, what was the answer? Right, reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? 50 years ago, the three R's, forget that only one of them actually starts with R. Maybe that's why we don't say that anymore. But the concept was that school should teach the basic skills that everyone needs, right? If you ask anybody now what we teach in school, you're going to hear a lot more about Common Core. The idea behind Common Core is that rather than just memorizing stuff, kids ought to understand how and why they can apply what they've learned. Now, at the same time that Common Core has become part of our vocabulary, our society has also gotten more focused on analysis and standardized tests. How can you know if no child has been left behind if you don't have a way to measure that? Now, both Common Core and frequent testing have become controversial and the source of a lot of loud political debate. So not too many people have noticed that in the background, some of the very largest corporations and organizations in our country have gotten together to say what they think the future of education should be. In fact, it's been going on for over a decade now. Back in 2002, P21, the Partnership for 21st Century Learning, was officially born. And P21 advocates keeping the three R's, with a few adaptations. First, they expand reading, writing, and arithmetic to also include science, foreign languages, civics, government, economics, arts, history, and geography. And all of those at a deeper level of understanding than has really been expected in recent history. The next generation is going to need to know a lot about a lot of different things. But what P21 introduced that was really new was the concept of the four C's: creativity, critical thinking, collaboration, and communication. As the world around us changes in response to new technology and new developments, we need to do more than just know stuff. The ways we think about and apply knowledge are just as important as the content of the lessons themselves. So P21 went on to determine and list which life skills they thought their future employees were going to need. If we're talking to people like Apple and IBM and 3M and Disney. We're talking about some big corporations, and they said, what are you going to want to see on resumes in the next 10, 20 years? They listed flexibility and adaptability, initiative and self-direction, social and cross-cultural skills, productivity and accountability, and leadership and responsibility. Now, I have two sisters, both of whom work in the public school system. I love teachers, I love public schools, and I honestly believe that they are doing the very best they can, often with very limited resources. But it turns out teachers and schools can't do everything. And in a culture with an emphasis on test scores, when there isn't enough time to teach everything, guess what gets dropped off the curriculum? All too often, it's these sorts of 21st century skills that get dropped. The good news is that these can be taught in places besides school. And it turns out that camp is one of the best places for kids to get some of this in their lives. These sort of application skills fit in very well with a camp environment. How many of you have ever been to any camp anywhere ever? I love doing that. It's about the same at most churches. So I want you to think about where you've been to camp, or where your kids or your neighbors or somebody you know, and just kind of get that in your head. And then I want you to think about with me some of these typical experiences that are pretty common across camping experiences. When campers take the bus or get dropped off at camp, they are away from the familiarity of family and home, and they develop independence and courage. Campers become part of a cabin group at camp and learn teamwork, responsibility, and accountability, and possibly how to get your canoe off of a beaver dam. Campers are encouraged to try new things, building both creativity and resilience. Older, more experienced campers learn leadership as they mentor younger, less experienced campers. Campers practice adaptability and communication as they make friends, usually with kids they didn't know before camp. So it turns out, camp is preparing our kids to be successful in very tangible kinds of ways. And it's not just our camps. This is any quality camp program. This is Girl and Boy Scout camps, 4-H camps, a lot of private camps. The American Camp Association does a lot of research on camp and how it impacts kids in the short term and in the long term. And they have a lot of research that proves fairly conclusively that camp does a world of good for our kids. Now, I'm here this morning because I am partial and I have a favorite, and I love our United Methodist camps. And I think we add another element to this profound mix of 21st century skills that camp can teach. And we add in our faith. As Christians, we say it's not enough to be a productive member of society. Now, we're not promoting antisocial behavior, but we're saying there's more to life than having a good resume or being a good citizen. In our scripture reading this morning, Paul described that something more as the life that really is life. I love this scripture passage from Timothy. Now, some of you may be wondering how I'm going to turn what sounds like a stewardship scripture into a Camp Sunday scripture. And for those of you who were here with me for all 6 years, we used that as a stewardship theme 1 year. But it works for camp too. Paul is giving Timothy advice about issues around faithful living and money, right? You can't get away from the fact that this passage is about money. And he gives advice to two groups of people. He gives advice to those who are rich and to those who want to be rich. I love that he says those are the only two categories of people. But he basically gives both groups the same instructions. He uses different words. To one group, he writes, "Shun the love of money and pursue righteousness." And to the other group, he writes, "Don't set your hopes on money, but on God." Same message, different words. Paul's saying we should all love one another and we should love God. Those who are not wealthy should do this to take hold of the eternal life to which they have been called, and those who are wealthy should do this to take hold of the life that really is life. Again, same thing, different words. So what is this eternal, real life? Abundant life is more than 21st century skills. It's more than getting a good job. It's more than being a productive citizen. Real life is about contributing to the kingdom of God. It's about meaningful relationships, not only with God, but also with one another and with God's creation around us. Unfortunately, in recent decades, the church has struggled. We have struggled with how to share our passion and our love for God with the next generation. Dr. Kara Powell and Chap Clark wrote their book, Sticky Faith, about how too many kids grow up in the church, but when they graduate from high school, they graduate right out of the church. Where there are consistent exceptions to this, where there are churches where their kids remain active in the faith, it's because the faith community has given their young people some very specific tools to help them internalize their faith, to help them take ownership of their faith and make it their own so that they don't go to church just because their parents made them or dragged them along. In a similar book, Almost Christian, Kenda Creasy Dean suggests that there are 5 culture tools that help to promote internal faith. Things that the faith community can give to our young people to help them grow into a lifelong faith. She writes, "Highly devoted young people seem adept at using at least 4 cultural tools in ways that mark them as members of their traditions. 1, they confess their tradition's creed or God story. 2, they belong to a community that enacts the God story. 3, they feel called by this story to contribute to a larger purpose. And 4, they have hope for the future promised by this story. In addition, these youth seem to have families and churches that model convincingly that these tools matter. Something is at stake in using these cultural tools as we do, and something is lost in not using them at all." Once again, camp is well equipped to help provide these tools and to partner with our congregations in this way. Now, the creed that we offer at camp is no different than the creed that is taught by a camper's home church, right? For campers coming from a church, this is a continuation of what they have learned here. But not all of our campers come from a church. Some of them come with a friend. Some of them come because their parents just want them out of the house for a week. And they come to us and they hear the story for the first time. They hear the story of God's creation and of Jesus' love for them. And whether campers come from a church background or not, the overwhelming majority, 90% or higher, every summer tell us that camp helped them learn more about their faith and more about the Bible. all of this is done in the context of intentional Christian community. Residential camp is an intensive, immersive experience. It is 24/7, all in, all the time. Brian McLaren, a popular Christian author and a big supporter of camps, suggests that camp is basically a monastic community. Think about that for a minute. We sleep together, pray together, eat together, work together, play together. We figured out how to give our kids a monastic experience, and they beg us to go back for more. How cool is that? And McLaren goes further to say that at camp, one thing that we provide is creative dislocation. I love the way he words that, but the rest of us would say it pushes us outside of our comfort zone, right? Creative dislocation. We leave behind our parents, our friends, our home, our church to face something new. We try new activities, we forge new relationships, and in that, we have to grow. It helps us to adjust to something new and to grow. As part of the camp community, campers are called to contribute. It could be cabin chores or leading grace in the dining hall. It could be choosing the next group activity or portaging a canoe. Camp is a participative environment. Pretty much everything we do at camp is experiential. It's funny to me that Christian camping started with the old camp meeting. You know, it was often the corner of some farmer's field or out in the woods, and people would gather for 3 days of preaching. And there were no pews, there were no chairs, you were standing out in the woods. The mosquitoes were biting your ankles. The pastor was preaching and preaching and preaching, and you only got a break to do 2 things. You got a break to sing, and you got a break for the potluck. You want to know why Methodists like potluck so much? Any of you want to sign up to go on that kind of a camp experience with me? I got one. You're my first in three churches. That just doesn't work today, does it? We don't sit by passively and just absorb faith. We want to participate. And camp is a place where we can go to live out our faith, to literally get our hands dirty, whether it's tie-dyeing or fishing or gardening or making a campfire. As we live together, as we serve one another, we begin to see that the ideal of God's kingdom, while it may not be fully realized yet, is possible. That is the real magic of camp, is that moment when we realize that what we talk about here, we actually get to live into at camp. At camp, we see the last become first, when the kids who are bullied at home become leaders and grow in their friendships. When we learn how to love our enemies, we get a chance to practice forgiveness. And if you put a cabin of 10-year-olds together that have never met each other before, there will be fighting before the end of the week, and there will be forgiveness. When we take turns hopping for the dinner table or putting away our sports equipment, we are learning how to serve one another. And I got to tell you, I am the first person to say, let's have fewer meetings. But going to a staff meeting of our summer camp staff is one of the coolest experiences ever. It is a chance to see the parable of the lost sheep in action. Remember that story? Jesus talks about the shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of the sheep wanders away, and instead of paying attention to the 99 well-behaved sheep, the shepherd goes off to get the one who was lost. That's what our summer staff do. They sit around and they talk about what happened today and what do we need to change tomorrow, and they don't talk about the campers that are fitting in. They don't talk about everything that went well and how they're making friends and the cool things that happened. They're saying, who's that one kid that still doesn't quite seem to fit in? Who is the kid that is making us pull our hair out because they are breaking or testing all the rules? And how do we make sure that every last camper feels the love of this community and the love of God and goes home assured by that? That is a powerful meeting. Camp is a great catalyst to open our campers' eyes to a faith that is possible. Yeah, we teach some practical skills like which side of the plate the knife goes on, but we also provide sticky faith experiences. And I have the stories and the research to prove it, but I gotta tell you, our ministry works best when kids actually show up. And this is where you all come in. Y'all remember I like to assign homework during my sermons? Now I get to assign them to churches all over the conference. God has entrusted all of us, conference staff, this congregation, congregations all over the state, God has entrusted all of us with the ministry of making disciples. You can help make disciples through camp and retreat ministry. You can help make camp and retreat ministry better by helping us to get the campers that we need to transform lives. Register your own kids, register your grandkids, register your neighbor's kids for all I care. Talk to another parent about how much camp impacted you or about how much it impacted your kids. Help provide a scholarship for somebody who might otherwise not be able to afford to go to camp. I know that you talk a lot about here in this congregation about reaching out to the community and making new disciples. Sometimes when it seems a little bit daunting to invite somebody to come to worship, you can invite somebody to come with you to camp. You can pray. Pray for our year-round staff. Pray for our summer staff. Pray for the kids who will join us this summer. Because friends, if we partner together, camp will transform lives this summer. And it's not an exception. It is our expectation. Amen and amen.